verse or two. Well, actually, one verse. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. I'm probably going to flip around to several different places. The Lord will give me liberty, and if it's His will to do so. But in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16, verse 15. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. As I have thought on this, and the Lord sort of laid this message on my heart about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I hadn't preached in about a month. Been, I guess, so far. And I got so anxious, I reckon, that I was working down in my garden the other day, and we're going to go to the beach in June. And I'm not one to run around with my shirt off, but I thought I might ought to pull off my shirt and get a little sun so I don't get blistered just plumb up when I get to the beach. And I got down there in my garden, and I was thinking on this message, and just digging away with my tiller and running off my rows. And I worked down there all day long and forgot every breath about my shirt. Just preaching up a storm. I preached to the dirt clods and the rocks, the worms. I don't know if any of them got saved or not, but I preached to them. And I got my mind so involved in the message that I forgot it. Boy, I paid for it too. I mean, I was blistered. I've put lotion and aloe and everything I can think of, and it's just now starting to get better. I guess that's what I get for running around with my shirt off. But anyway, I follow a title for the message, and it's kind of an odd title, I guess you could say. But my thought I had was an addictive personality. And that is kind of a strange title. Or a message to preach. But I got on my little computer and I started looking up some things. You know, I have in my mind what an addictive personality is, but I wanted to see what I could find, what kind of information I could find on it. The more I dug around, the more I studied, the more I thought and prayed and looked in dictionaries and commentaries and everything in the world, pretty much every one of us has an addictive personality. Every one of us. There's differences in how we let our addictions run, which way we let them go, but we all have that personality. Every one of us. To be addicted to something is to be hooked on it, right? Or to be prone to do something, or to be in the habit of doing something. Is that not what addicted means? So, in this scripture we just read here, and I'll read it again, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. For Achaia had been about the business of God. They'd been out witnessing and preaching and evangelizing and getting other people to come to know Jesus Christ, right? And they'd established another church and many other churches. It says, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had got so enamored and so attached to and hooked on Jesus that they wanted to share it with everybody. They wanted to spend their life and their time about the ministry of God. They were more concerned with the ministry of God than they were about anything else in their life. But on that thought of an addictive personality, And the fact that we all, I believe, would agree that we all have that addictive personality in some form or fashion, there's a couple of things I'd like to say about that. You have two different choices you can go with it. You can either be addicted to the things of the world, addicted to the false advertisement that the devil has out there for us to see, that would try to bring us into the worldliness and the lust of the flesh, Or you can choose to be addicted to the things of God and to Jesus Christ Himself. You have that option. You have that choice. And whether you're a lost person or whether you're a saved person, you still have those two choices. As a lost person, of course, first and foremost, you have the choice of coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as a saved person, we have the choice daily of choosing to follow God, choosing to be addicted to the things that God has for us. And there's a few points in there I wanted to make mention of. There's some things that you can expect to have or expect to come into your life if you choose to become addicted to the things of the world. And I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit, but why are we so have such an addictive personality? What draws us to that? We all have, as anybody knows Billy Graham's preaching, every time you hear him preach, he talks about the void that all human beings have within them before they come to know Jesus, right? Without Jesus, there's something inside of us that's missing. There's something that we're longing for and looking for. Once we're saved, that void is filled with the Holy Ghost. But even as being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we have to keep continually looking for, striving for, that perfection. We'll never be perfect in this flesh, but we have to strive to be perfect. All right? But there's some things that you can expect to happen or expect to come if you choose, whether lost or saved, that you will expect to find if you choose to go down that road. One of those things is disappointment. We as saved people, if we choose to back away from or backslide from following the Lord, we can expect to have and find some disappointment. You can't be a child of God and live the way we want to live without it. It's going to come. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Because, brother, I've been there. There's been times in my life that I thought that I just couldn't do, and I couldn't hang on, and I just couldn't do what God wanted me to do. And I thought to myself, I'm going to fill this emptiness with something else. Now the world will look for drugs, or the drug of alcohol, or sometimes saved people do that too. Nobody wants to admit it, but sometimes saved people do that too. They'll look for a drug or some kind of something to take the edge off, to take that feeling that of misery that's inside us. You can be saved on your way to heaven and be as miserable as any human being has ever been. Because of what I just said, we choose to walk a lot of times toward worldly things and addict ourselves to worldly things. And when we do that, we're going to be miserable. You're taking Christ into these things because He lives in your heart. You're taking Him right along with you. He's not going to let you have a hunky-dory time. And I can tell you that from experience too. You won't have fun. We can come to church and we can put on big smiles and we can shake everybody's hand and we can go to the altar and pray and lift our hands up, and all the time down inside we know that something ain't right because God has spoken to our heart and said, this is something you need to stop doing, and we continue going in that direction. And in all reality, even though the world might say that we're happy and the world might say that everything is all right, down in here we know something ain't what it's supposed to be. So we can expect some disappointment. Over in the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to flip over there and read it. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. If I don't throw everything out on the floor. Verse 19, it says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Most of the time we do just what I done a few minutes ago. We'll throw out that addiction of drugs, or addiction of alcohol, or addiction of something like that. We forget about the other addictions that the devil's got out there, like porn, and those kinds of things. And those things that seemingly are harmless to us. Television. Nice cars. Nice homes. All the things that there's nothing wrong with in their place, but when we get so involved in that we forget about God, we've become addicted to them. And there's no difference in the way that it tears our relationship up with God than the porn or the drugs or the alcohol. And the way that it separates us from the closeness that we can have in Jesus. And as I said, when we're in that position, we're going to have some disappointment. Some people have an addiction to money. They think, "Boy, I got to make more. I've got to get out there and do more. I've got to make every dime I can make." And there's nothing. People will say, "You can make all you want to make as long as you do it honest." That ain't true. You can make all you can make and follow God, and there's nothing wrong with it. But you can't make all you can make and grab with both hands and forget about God and everything be all right. Won't work. It won't satisfy you. Worldly things will not satisfy you. I like nice cars. Don't really have one, but I like them. I like nice houses. I'd like to have me a nice GT Mustang sitting in my yard, but I can't afford one. If I had it, and probably the reason God won't let me have it is because if I did, I'd probably be out there every minute shining that thing and say, "Well, I'll get to my study, and after a while, let me wash this car one more time, put another coat of wax on it." That's probably why the Lord won't let me have one. Because I'd be addicted to that car instead of addicted to the study of the Word of God, where I need to be. And God lets us have just what we can handle. Another point that I'd like to make about the following the worldly addictions is dismay. We'll have dismay. Dismay means to have a loss of resolve or a loss of courage. And over in Matthew 19 and 21 to 22 there, and I'm going to flip all over the place, and if y'all don't want to turn, that's all right. I'll be glad to show you these scriptures if you want to read them. What did I say? It says, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." We all know this story. It says, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He had dismay. He was sorrowful because he had something that he couldn't hang on to and still have what God had to offer. A lost person? There's somebody here lost? You can't have everything you want and still have God. Saved person, you can't have everything you want and still have God. There's some things that you're going to have to let go of. Not that it's got anything to do with your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. But if you want that closeness, how many of you have ever sat in a pew and seen somebody just having one more fit, running around the church and just shouting and praising God and just, and you thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could do that. Man, I wish I could enjoy the Spirit of God like that. You know how you're going to get it? You're going to have to give up whatever it is that God has been telling you that you've got to give up. However, whatever it is, you have to come to that place that, God, I want you more than I want this thing over here. Ultimately, in the end, it's my life's point for the addictions of the world and the things of the world. Ultimately, you'll have destruction. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. We all know this scripture. None of these scriptures are anything that we're not familiar with. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And this applies both to lost, but mainly to the lost, but both lost and saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the end, lost person, if you continue to buck against that Holy Ghost that's dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you over and over and over to come to Him, come to Him, come to Him, eventually you'll have destruction. Eventually, there'll come a place and a point in time where you're cut off. And then you'll spend eternity in hell. Simply because refusing to be obedient to the things of God. Gladly, when there's another side to the addicted personality, there's the bad, but we've got some good. There's some things that we can depend on having if we will addict ourselves or be addicted to the things of God. One thing you can depend on without a shadow of a doubt, if you'll give your all for God and get in your Bible, get on your knees before God, be willing to do whatever He wants you to do, whenever He wants you to do it, you can depend on having encouragement from the Holy Ghost. You can depend on that. I'll stand up here today and I'll say this. If you'll do what I just said and you don't have encouragement from the Holy Ghost of God, you can come to me and tell me you're wrong. But you'll never do it if you're honest. You will have encouragement. First Kings, old Ezekiel was sitting there in that cave. He is all down and out. He had about give up, I guess, like some of us get sometimes. Sometimes we feel like, man, I've just failed. I've just been a complete failure. I've just flopped on it. Kind of how I feel about right now. Like, man, I've just messed everything up. Sometimes we feel like that. We're all by ourselves. The way Ezekiel felt, sitting up there in that cave, he thought, man, I'm the only one left that's trying to do anything for God. God gave him encouragement. He's sitting there, and the wind went to blowing. God wasn't in that. Earthquake came, God wasn't in that. Fire came, God wasn't in that. And the Lord began to speak to him. Lord, I tell you what, there's been a lot of days and a lot of nights. Had it not been for that still small voice, you wouldn't see me so standing up here today. We ought to praise God for the encouragement He gives us, for the strength He gives us, for all He does for us. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus said something along these lines, and this is my words. He said, the Father knows what you have need of. before you ever come and ask Him. We've got a throne of grace we can go to. No matter what happens, no matter how bad we feel, no matter if we do feel like we fail, if we do feel like that there's no hope, if we feel like, God, I don't know if I'll make it through this cancer or not, brother, we can go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, here's my petition. God already knew before you come. We can depend on Him, not only hearing what we pray, but knowing and working on it before we ever come to ask. Don't you think that God's already working on your prayer before you come to ask Him? Oh man, I know He has for me many times. Before I ever bowed my knees, He was already working on the other end. Mark chapter 9, if you want to read it, it's the story of this man that brought his child to Jesus. He went to the disciples first. He went to the disciples first and said, help me with my son. His son had a dumb spirit. And he come to the disciples and he said, man, help me out here. I want you to help me with my son. He's got this dumb spirit in him. Can't you do something for him? The disciples couldn't do a thing. I'm sure they tried. I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure they done all they knew how to do. But finally they had to bring him to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. There's times in your life, there's times in my life, the preacher ain't going to be able to help you. There's times in your life, the deacon ain't going to be able to help you. As much as they love you, as much as they want to, as much as they'll pray for you, there's times when the preacher can be standing right beside of you and he's not going to help you a bit. But there's one who will. His name is Jesus. He's going to be there with you. He's going to be there to help you. And when he brought this young man up to Jesus, Jesus cast that dumb spirit out of him. And he was healed. Brother, when you were laying there in that hospital, it wouldn't have done you much good if I'd have been standing there beside you, would it? You might have appreciated me coming and saying, how you doing? But that wasn't going to really help you. Brother Darren, I'm sure he was able to come. I'm sure you was glad he was there, but he couldn't really do a lot to help you, could he? Only one that could was Jesus. So we're going to get some encouragement if we'll choose to do what God wants us to do. You get yourself addicted to the things of God, and boy, you'll have some encouraging things in your life. I've laid in my bed at night and think, after preaching a message somewhere or going through some hardship of some kind, whether it had been at church or whether it had been at work or something else, and think, man, this is just, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got to have some belief. Help me. Help me through this. And in a few minutes, most of the time, just in a minute or two, that's encouraging. Another thing you can depend on having, if you'll choose to be addicted to the things of God, is endurance. Over in the book of Isaiah 40, I think everybody in the world probably knows this scripture, but we'll read it anyway. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You'll have the strength to go on, the endurance to go on, if you'll choose to do what God wants, choose to follow godliness and do godly works. You'll have the endurance to continue. In Exodus 15, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is our strength. He is He's what makes us endure. He's what keeps us. He's what gives me the strength to go and do whatever God wants me to do. I certainly wouldn't be here if God didn't give me the strength to do it. You wouldn't be here tonight if God didn't give you the strength to do it and the endurance to do it. We might be weak at times. We might think at times, man, I just can't go on. I can't do no more. I've done all I know. I can't do it. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He'll give you the grace to endure a little longer. To endure a little longer. Oh, Abraham's wife, Sarah, she, the Bible says over there in Hebrews that she, that by her faith, that she received the strength to bear a son. By her faith. She had the faith. God had the strength. He gives her the endurance, and she had a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac was the one that Abraham was going up on the mountain to sacrifice, because God had told him to. There's another one that was addicted to God. He was willing to be obedient to what God wanted above what his flesh wanted. I'm sure that just being a daddy, I know that it would be the hardest thing you could imagine, even the thoughts of doing something like that. Abraham took his son up and went on. He got a son there named Isaac that became a great picture of a son named Jesus a little later on. The last and final thing, and I'll hush, we'll go home. Last thing we can depend on, if we'll choose to be addicted to the things of God, the Holy Ghost of God, is everlasting life. And that works for lost and saved too. Saved people already know it. We already cling to that hope and already enjoy the blessings of knowing that. The lost person, you can have it. Got to come get it. Everlasting life. Well, my question to you tonight, and I know it's been kind of more of a teaching than a preaching for sure, but I believe that's the best of my abilities. I've done that. So my question to you tonight is this: which one are you going to choose? Lost person, which one are you going to choose? And saved person, which one are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to be, continue to be, and we've all been there. There's not a person in this room, if you're honest with me, for let myself become addicted to anything other than God. There's not a person in here that could tell me that if you're truthful. Not a soul. My question to you, though, is this. What do you want to do today? You can't do nothing about yesterday or even before you come in here. But what are you going to do from here on out? Are you going to choose to try to make that Wednesday night service, even though you don't feel like it and you're too tired? Are you going to choose to get your Bible down and spend your 30 minutes or 45 or whatever it is you can do to study the Word of God because you want to be addicted to the things of God? Even though I'm so tired I want to go to sleep, I'm still going to do it. Are you going to choose to go to revivals and get in the choir and sing and put forth your effort and try to do your best to help the church? Are you going to teach that Sunday school class? Even though you're so bashful and backwards, you couldn't hardly stand the thoughts of it. I can speak from experience on that one too. I know all about that. What's your choice? We've all got it. We have to make it daily. Which one do you want to do? I can tell you this. If you want to have a happy life and a joyous life, and a peaceful life and And that miserable feeling that we get down in here when we don't do things right, if you want to keep that thing gone, you're going to have to choose Jesus. You're going to have to choose to be addicted to Him, hooked on Him, prone to follow Him wherever He'll go, and be directed by Him. Lord, I thank You so much for this privilege and this honor it has been tonight to come and stand and try to teach Your Word. And Lord, it tried to preach, but Lord, it ended up being more of a teaching than anything. Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You for this church. I thank You for Brother Darren giving me the opportunity. Lord, I thank You for what this message has meant to me, how it's helped me to realize, Lord, there's many times in my life that I don't always choose to be addicted to godly things. I choose to go the way of the world a lot of times. Lord, I ask You to forgive me for that. But Lord, I'm so thankful that You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we come and ask it. I'm thankful, Lord, for everyone that's here tonight. I pray, God, that You'd help them, that You'd bless them. I pray, Lord, for every request that was made known again, that You would just intercede in it, Lord, whatever it might be. Lord, that You would heal those that's sick, that You would touch those that's weary. Lord, that You would encourage those that need encouraging. God, I just pray You'd do whatever You need to do and whatever they need in their lives. Lord, I give You praise for all You do. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Go right ahead.